Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
We are on this series today on the Holy Spirit, and you know, we are flooded with news we can't trust. We are given advice that we can't follow, and we have expectations that we can't meet on our own. And even when things are going really, really well, maybe, you have this aspect of fear that society is always saying, you need to fear this next thing and this next thing that's coming up. It's exhausting. And social scientists are now saying this is the most reactive, exhausted, insecure generation in modern history. And that's the bad news. I'm not up here to really talk about the bad news. The good news is we are not destined by God to live reactive, insecure, exhausted, or self-sufficient lives. Just pushing through, managing obligations, God has more for us. God has more for you. And Pastor Mike started the series last week, and the series is Under the Influence. God's extra in the ordinary. And we're discovering the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, looking through the book of Acts. And last week, Mike introduced us to a beautiful old school word from church history, and many of us maybe had never heard it before. So we're gonna look at it more today. And it's the word vivification. Vivification. It means to make alive. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He infuses us with the life of Christ. And now the Holy Spirit is not just some quirky sidekick we go to when we need a hand or a jolt of espresso when we really need it. The person of the Holy Spirit is the more that God has for us. And he wants to bring us life spiritually because we are dead inside without him. And this is what Jesus came to do. He came to make the way so that God could be with us all the time, so that he could fill our everyday, ordinary lives with his presence. Now, I have this lamp here, and this lamp is supposed to be unplugged. Whoopsie. We're just going to unplug it. Okay, so this lamp has everything that it needs. It has a light bulb, it has all the wiring, the circuitry, the things that I don't understand inside that makes it go. But no matter how many times I turn the switch, it's not going to turn on. And you know why, because you're all very smart people. Because it's unplugged. It has everything it needs to function, but it's not working because it's not connected to a source of power. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you have everything you need, you have this greatness wired inside you, but nothing's happening the way it should? You're working hard, you've got your cup of coffee and your podcast, and you're like, okay, today's gonna be a great day, I can do it. But then, you're still tired, or maybe you'd even say depleted or numb inside, where we get that no matter how hard we try, we run out of strength, we run out of energy. Maybe you're pulling 12-hour shifts or trying to make payroll or drowning in anxiety. The truth is, you were not meant to run on fumes. You were made to run on power, real, divine, Holy Spirit-given power. And the power I'm talking about is that Holy Spirit is God's personal presence. Holy Spirit is not an it or an energy. This has nothing to do with crystals or auras. This is the real thing. Holy Spirit, all throughout Scripture, is in the whole Old Testament, the New Testament, but he comes into a main role after Jesus' death and resurrection because Jesus made a way that the Holy Spirit could be with us. And God wants to empower believers to live a supernatural, extraordinary life through the Holy Spirit. And when the power of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, everything changes. Sorry, guys, this is annoying. That's annoying. But I don't think I'm done. Because when the power of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, everything changes. We are vivified. And this is the definition that Mike shared last week. Vivification is the process by which the Holy Spirit imparts new spiritual life into a believer, animating them with the life of Christ, empowering them to live in obedience, faith, and love. It is the positive aspect of sanctification where the individual is not only turning away from sin, but is being energized and renewed to live a life of righteousness and holiness. And so this is what happens in Acts 2. This wasn't just a good Sunday. They were transformed when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were vivified. They were brought to new life. And so we're going to look at Acts 2, which is the arrival of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. Now, this is not just ancient history. This can be a reality for us, too, as well. So Acts 2, I'm just going to read chunks of it. So it starts out, on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Easter, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So there's 120 people in the upper room. This is not just the famous 12 disciples who we know their names, but there's also nameless, ordinary people who were followers of Jesus from all walks of life, whether professionals or hardworking blue-collar workers. There were men, there were women. They were all gathered together. And this wind that came blowing through is, for any of them who were the Jewish believers, this would have been a major flashback to the creation story, where God's breath breathed into man and brought them to life. This breath was the wind of God. It's the same word in the Greek. So this is a flashback for the Jewish believers, that God's breath that brings life. Then the flames was also a flashback to God's presence that came to rest in the tabernacle, that came and rested in the temple when the flames of God's presence filled the tabernacle. And this presence that used to rest on the temple and the tabernacle was now resting on people. And God was weaving a masterpiece throughout this biblical drama. This was not just a standalone event that happened. It was putting all kinds of pieces together for them. It goes on to say, at that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be, they exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages about the wonderful things God has done. This is the first time people began to speak in other languages. And this is sometimes called praying in tongues or praying in the spirit. And this is when it started in the Bible. But it wasn't just a standalone event, because it was a flashback. Maybe a reversal of the chaos and the disunity that started at Babel. Or when Moses gathered the 70 leaders and they began to prophesy. And God's Spirit came on people and gave them the ability to speak. You know, maybe you hear people speaking in tongues around you or speaking in a spiritual language. You know, this is something we believe is a gift from God. It is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It is not something we can do in our own ability. You might hear people around you in prayer or worship, and we think that's a good thing. It's a good thing when God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit and able to speak in other languages. But we are aware that there are some around us who are unfamiliar with this, and that's okay. You know, if this is a gift that you would like to receive, there will be people up at the front at the end of service that would love to pray for you. Because this is an incredible gift. In Jude, it talks about building yourself up by praying in the Spirit. It builds up our inner man, that life of God in us. So then the people were standing around, amazed and perplexed. So what can this mean? They asked each other. And others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. You know, they had a natural explanation for something that was spiritual happening. It might have looked like they were drunk because maybe they lost their inhibitions, but they were under his influence, and it caused them to think differently, to talk differently, to act differently. And Peter stands up and says, guys, we're not drunk. That's not it. We have been filled with the Spirit. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. And then Peter boldly preaches a powerful message about Jesus, and he connects the dots for the Jewish believers, for the Jewish bystanders, highlighting Christ's central role in God's salvation plan, highlighting that Jesus is Lord and Messiah, and that he was crucified, but that he was raised to life again, that his resurrection changed everything, that Jesus is Lord. And Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Each one of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, your children, and to those far away, all those who have been called by the Lord our God." I love this. This verse tells us this is for everyone who believes, not just those who were present, but those who were far away, like us, far away in time, maybe. But this gift is for all the believers, not just those who were present. And it's for us. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met in one place, shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So what does this tell us about how the Spirit vivifies? There's two ways that are highlighted in this chapter. And the first way is through an event or an encounter. The Holy Spirit imparts new spiritual life through an event. And so the Holy Spirit showed up where the people were waiting. They were in one place. This wasn't accidental. The Holy Spirit didn't come when they were scattered or distracted or disinterested. They created space and they waited. And we see that the Spirit shows up in intentional spaces. And I'd say the intentional space might be your car during a commute. We can create space in our life for that encounter with the Holy Spirit, where we can experience his presence, because it makes all the difference. It brings something alive inside of us. And just like this lamp, if I do plug it in now, okay, here we go, something fundamentally changes. There we go. Like, it's changing, right? It's changing. Come on, technology. Okay, so, and of course, then I lose my place. So something fundamental changed because it was connected to the power source, and it's able now to accomplish its purpose. This is a small picture of what vivification looks like. It's not just feelings. It's not a checklist to live up to in our own strength. Vivification is the animation by the divine life. It's the ability that he gives us. It's not hype or emotion when we are connected to the source of life. This is the power to live out your faith, power to live out the mission that God has for you. And it comes from Jesus. So Romans 8:11, it says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." This is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can raise you up out of weariness or anxiety, raise you up out of shame or exhaustion or self-sufficiency or complacency. He can give you new purpose. The Holy Spirit's life sustains us when the pressures build. And the early church was changed in a moment. They began to live differently. They were fearless. But the Spirit didn't just empower them to preach. I believe the Holy Spirit also empowers parenting and paying bills, organizing paperwork, and all the things that we do in our day-to-day life. The unlimited resources of heaven are here to help you in your everyday actual life. Because the Spirit is power to love when it's easier to withdraw, the courage to speak when it's more comfortable to stay silent, and the fire to keep going when you feel spiritually flatlined. The Holy Spirit turned ordinary people into bold, generous, Spirit-filled humans. So I found it interesting, even Jesus' mother was in the upper room. Acts 1:14, you can check it out. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, her story is incredible. She saw angels. Angels actually came and spoke to her. The Holy Spirit is the one who brought life. That's who impregnated her, right? She was the virgin mother of Jesus, but God brought that life inside of her. But she was part of Jesus' ministry, but if she needed a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit and a new encounter with his life, so do we. Like, we can always use a greater infilling of the Holy Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit vivify? It's through an event or an encounter, but we also see through a process. So the breath of God makes us alive. Yes, we're no longer dead in our spirit. But let's just reread that definition. Vivification is the process by which the Holy Spirit imparts new spiritual life. It's a process that empowers us to live in obedience, faith, and love. Vivification is not just a moment, a one-time event. It is a process of spirit-led rhythms and practices, ongoing, life-shaping work of the Holy Spirit. These new believers were transformed when they implemented practices that continued to make room for them, for the Holy Spirit to shape them in their everyday, ordinary life. This was a process they were devoted to. They devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship, shared meals and prayer. They sold possessions and cared for the poor and experienced radical community. This is through their daily, weekly rhythms that they were transformed. The character, desires, and behaviors were reshaped by the Holy Spirit. And this isn't just a first century Christian thing. We also need rhythms in our life to create space so that the vivifying work of the Holy Spirit can make a difference in our lives. We need to have rhythms of teaching to replace lies with truth, rhythms of fellowship in the midst of cultural divisions around us. Learn how to love really messy people. We need to have rhythms where we break bread, where we share our life, where we remember that God invited us to the table and we can invite others to the table and extend the grace that we've received. Rhythms of prayer. It's not just to talk to God, but be shaped by him, by his Spirit, and repeat. Because it's not just a one time you hear truth and it's good enough, or one time you meet with people, check that off my list, never again. It's actually the ongoing fellowship, the ongoing breaking of prayer and a breaking of bread and prayer. It's not just a one time prayer we pray, it's an ongoing process where we make space for the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we fall into arrogance or futility, thinking that, you know, we're just ineffective, but he has so much more for us. Holy Spirit wants to be part of our daily lives so that we can reflect what it means to be truly human, image bearers of God, not just on Sundays. Acts 14:13, the Jewish leaders, I find it interesting that they commented on Peter and John, saying they were just ordinary men with no special training. These guys were ordinary. These are not like super spiritual extra Christians, but they were just ordinary guys that had been filled with the Holy Spirit. So how does the Spirit vivify? Through an event and through a process. We need that event, that encounter with the Holy Spirit. We cannot manufacture it. We cannot make it happen on our own. It is by his giving. But we need also the process where the Holy Spirit shapes us and brings life, that energizing and renewing life, so that we can live a life of righteousness. You know, the world doesn't need a whole bunch of more busy Christians. The world needs Spirit-filled believers who know how to plug into God's power every single day. Not just to comfort us in a crisis or make us feel something for a moment, but to empower us for mission by forming us into people of character who realize that our life is a ministry. Like Mike had said, we have ministry in our day-to-day week. We're called to be spirit-filled influencers in our homes and on our sports team, to work not just for status or profit alone, but to serve and build and provide for others, to make our industry a little bit more like heaven. He wants us to be leaders who lead with integrity and creativity and compassion, that we can pray, "Your kingdom come in this oil field or my classroom or in our office as it is in heaven." And he does that through Holy Spirit-empowered ministers called welders and accountants and students. He has equipped you to be a minister in your workplace. And the Holy Spirit is not a luxury or a personal spiritual choice to add on. He is essential. N.T. Wright said, "To be Jesus' agents in the world, his followers need and are given his own Spirit. Easter and Pentecost belong together. Easter commissions Jesus' followers for a task, but Pentecost gives them necessary equipment to accomplish it. This is not something we have to live up to in our own strength, but something we need to live out with God's power." If you are trying really hard to lead or parent or work or serve without his power, I want to encourage you. You need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to be dependent on him. Even if you've maybe experienced the Holy Spirit in the past, we need a fresh infilling for today, for tomorrow. We need a continual dependence on his life and his Spirit. So I want to ask you today, what is your reaction to the Holy Spirit? We see in the book of Acts, there were four responses. There were the people who were completely amazed and just in awe. There were the people who were perplexed, wondering, how can this be? You know, they were curious or confused. And then there were those who ridiculed, like, "You guys are drunk, just go home." But then there were a fourth group that they encountered the Holy Spirit and they were transformed. We don't want to just be in awe and think, "Oh, that's good for somebody else." We don't want to be perplexed or confused. And I hope that, if you are confused about this topic, you know, talk to another Christian and see, get their story. But there, I hope that you're not just in awe or perplexed. Hopefully you're not thinking, "I'm drunk and need to go home." But hopefully we are in people who want to encounter the Holy Spirit so that he can transform us. Have you felt the Holy Spirit revive your soul? Would you stand with me? You know, just like this lamp, it needed to be connected to the source of power. And what if the only thing separating you is asking, "God, would you connect me to the source of power that you have for me? Would you plug me in to your Holy Spirit?" So if you have decided to follow Jesus, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead does live in you. The same Spirit that filled 120 nobodies in the upper room started the church, and he wants to fill you too. You know, the Bible says that God gives good gifts, and the Holy Spirit is a good gift, and he will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And ask is simple. It's a prayer. It is just an openness. And we believe that God will give you the Holy Spirit. Maybe there are some rhythms in your life that need adjusting so that you can experience the life of the Holy Spirit daily. Or maybe you're here and you're not a believer. I want to invite you to be open. Just like Jesus, or like Peter preached, to acknowledge Jesus, to repent, to receive forgiveness, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not complex, but it does require humility and acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. He is the true ruler of the world, and we are meant to be his partners, working alongside him with his power, empowerment, to be image bearers, to bring the presence of God everywhere we go. And so we're going to pray together. This first prayer is just a prayer of saying yes to Jesus. If you're here and you haven't received that life of Jesus, it brings dead things to life. Dead things inside of us to life. And so we're going to pray together. I want to invite you to pray along with me. Say, Jesus, I acknowledge you that you are Lord. I pray that you would heal me, that you would forgive me, that you bring me new life, that you would make me alive through the Holy Spirit. Pray that you would make me brand new as I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name. I also want to just pray that the Holy Spirit would fill us, each one of us, because this is not just something for new believers. This is something for those of us who've been following for 30 years. We still need to be connected to the source of power, of strength, of life in our everyday lives. And so would you just put your hands, if you're open, put your hands open and just say, come Holy Spirit, would you awaken me? Would you animate every corner of my life with your spirit, with your power, with your anointing, so I can be your witness? In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next-step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.